The job of the blender is to combine these elements in such a way as to produce an overall flavour.
A wider repertoire of different beverages than ever before.
I think one of the most interesting breweries, and certainly one of the most interesting origin stories for a brewery in Australia.
Single malts, blends, grain whiskies, bourbons and more.
If you want mezcal to be sold around the world, then unfortunately you're going to have to make a compromise.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine and spirits and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today. If you haven't yet explored Italy's wonderful array of digestive amari, I'd like to strongly encourage you to do so. Amari is the plural of amaro, which means bitter in Italian. It's also the name given to the country's unique liqueurs that are intensely bitter and often very sweet too, flavoured with herbs, spices and other botanicals. The theme of this episode has been inspired by the Amari degustation event organised by the Italian Cultural Institute, Sydney, at its premises in December 2021 during the World Week of Italian Cuisine. The degustation featured a tasting of seven Italian Amari and was presented by today's expert, Federico Malavenda. The Italian Cultural Institute is an official branch of the Italian government dedicated to the promotion of Italian culture in Australia through the organisation and support of events, exhibitions and festivals in collaboration with major local institutions. This episode has been produced with their support. Federico Malavenda is bar manager at Bistecca Restaurant in Sydney, which has a menu of no less than 85 different Amari. This was recognised at the Wine List of the Year Awards in late 2021, when Bistecca picked up the gong for Best Digestive List. Stay with me as Federico gives you an overview of Amaro, including the selection of Amari that he showcased at the event. He also shares what he's been doing with Digestive Amari at Bistecca. First up, a little history. Federico says these unique and storied liqueurs have been an integral part of Italian culture for generations.
The first to experiment with Amaros were actually medieval monks who actually were the best experts in extraction from seeds, from barks, flowers that they had available at the doorstep. They were basically using specialized extraction methods to obtain the active principle that they were looking for in these plants. So they were using mainly maceration, which is something that is used now as well. Also, better method of distillation came through in the most recent years. So the Amaros are definitely different, but still kind of like, like bringing the charm of the very, very old times. The Amaros recipes, they're of course usually very old. They are authentic and sometimes a little bit obscure as well. And this, I think, is part of the charm of this category as well. And, you know, lots of recipes and methods have been jealously, guarded for generations. Still now, we don't know recipes of maybe half of the Amaros that are on the market. One of the best masters of the medical school of Salerno cured a pope in the 1300s. And that was basically the first officially known use of Amaro to actually cure someone from kidney stones. Goes back that much, when people were, realized that Amaro was used to cure also like actual, medical illness. So, that's very interesting.
And how did they kind of make their way into popular leisure consumption?
That's very interesting. I believe it's since when dining establishment started to pop up, of course, long time ago. I just believe the fact of having, someone must have asked for something like a coffee or like a hot beverage with a little bit of, whatever alcohol they were having at the time, let's say something maybe like a rum or something like that. And probably, they found out that having something bitter and alcoholic after a meal would have done a little bit of good. So they just brought him to the table, and that's where we go at the moment. Probably hundreds of Amaro that are consumed every day on the table all around the world.
Federico says Amari can be divided into two major categories, aperitif and digestif.
For example, like an Aperol is an aperitivo amaro, or like, you know, like a Campari and lots of other ones. So those ones are usually more consumed like before the meal, stimulating your appetite. When the digestive amaro, they are usually sweeter. They have way bitter notes, and they're a little bit more sophisticated in the taste. So usually it's a little bit less citrus profile and more like spices. So that is what will give you, you know, like after the meal, your sensation of digestion. There is not really such a big difference in the categorization when we talk about the aperitivo style one. They are all, of course, made in completely different ways, but usually, you know, the flavor profile is more towards the orange, the citrus, the rhubarb.
So for the purposes of this episode, we'll be focusing on digestive amari, which Federico says can be classified according to their sugar levels, regionality, or ingredients, like the family of amari made from vegetables, such as artichoke.
The carciofo amaro, the vegetable ones, they are usually quite sweet. And of course, the artichoke or carciofo is the main flavor profile and ingredient in it. They are usually quite dark, and that is because of the type of maceration that are being put through.
With the artichoke amaro, Sinar is the brand that I'm aware of. Are there lots of other smaller brands as well?
Nothing compared to Sinar, for example. But there is definitely some other amaros with artichoke flavor profile for sure. There is a Sicilian one called Amacardo Rosso. So Amacardo red with some red-orange citrusy profile as well on top of the vegetal notes.
So while citrus tends to be a hallmark of aperitif-style amari, it features in digestifs too. Also from Sicily comes Amara blood orange liqueur.
Even if it is a little bit citrus-driven, because there is a lot of baking spices and bitter spice as well, it's something that we would put in the digestive part as well. So this one, the Amaro, is made near the slopes of Mount Etna. So there are acres and acres of blood orange trees as a part of like a combination of type of soil and microclimate. They just make the best like blood orange on earth, probably. And they just, you know, like being able to source this beautiful fruit and again, adding the zest and some baking spices, this Amaro like balanced perfectly the citrus and the spice that you're looking at digestive as well.
And I can see, yeah, it's a beautiful bottle as well of the Amara.
It is a beautiful bottle. Actually, say a very beautiful thing about Amaros as well is that being a little bit of an obscure liqueur for many people, also their bottling and their, you know, labeling is so interesting. The label usually look dated, but they look cool and they look interesting anyways.
Rhubarb is another prominent ingredient in Amari, like Cappelletti Rhubarbaro Sfumato from Trento, a city in northern Italy.
This is made with rhubarb, so does have vegetal notes, but is also smoked and is a wine-based recipe. So this gives a like a more kind of like a rounder and like a richer aftertaste. There is some gentian in there, you know, for as a bitter agent. And this is quite a delicious the amaro. It's quite sweet, but you got some, you know, like tobacco, and very woody and earthy aromas as well.
Next up are the Alpine Amari from the Italian Alps in the country's north.
They all display some notes in common, but they all have a different flavor profile as well. So usually all the herbs and all the, you know, like barks and flowers used in the Alpine Amaro are mainly picked from, you know, slopes of the mountains. So they are very characteristic of the place. And they usually display like pine, menthol, and almost like a bittersweet and medicinal flavor profile. These are actually my favorite Amaro in general. Probably the most well-known is Braulio. So Braulio is actually one of those antique recipes from the end of the 1800s. It's very bittersweet. It's very medicinal. You got some cloves and licorice and pine notes. It's absolutely delicious.
From the Poly Distillery In the Veneto region of northeast Italy comes Polivacamora, a spicy and full-bodied liqueur with a refreshing aftertaste of mint and licorice.
So the Polivacamora was born in the 1800s. It's a very interesting story as well. So Joe Barapoli, which is the founder, decided to open a tavern right on the stop of a train station just to allow, you know, travelers to kind of get a refresh and some food and some drinks during their trips. And here he was preparing the Samaro, infusing in a grappa base 16 herbs. This had such a great success that just a decade later, the actual tavern became the Poli distillery where they are just doing this beautiful liqueur.
And from the Abruzzo region in the heart of Italy comes Toro Centerba. And if you check out the pictures on the Drinks Adventures Instagram account, you'll see it's a really striking green liqueur produced from a selection of local aromatic herbs.
It's made in two different ABV strengths and is produced from Mount Maiella. And all the spices and herbs are subject to a very long infusion process. That's also why you get that beautiful, vibrant green color. That's because of the sage and all of the other herbs that are infused for a long time. This one has mainly herbal aroma, so you get a lot of peppermint, a lot of thyme and oregano, and also a little bit of pine and licorice as well.
Awesome. We got one more to go.
We got the Averna, which is one of the classics as well. This one, I believe, just revisited his label as well on the beautiful bottle. So Averna is a bit of a different one compared to the one that we talk about so far. Just more so because he has a very distinctive color.
Amaro Averna is the darkest in color of all the Amari Federico has spoken about in this episode. It's a really distinctive dark brown. Owned by Campari Group since 2014, Averna is another Amaro coming from the island of Sicily.
But like the other, is made by infusion of aromatic herbs, you know, like dry flowers and licorice. And this is one of the, late 1800s recipe as well, actually from the monks, because, yeah, lots of Amaros and Amaros recipe and method are actually from the monks. So, yeah, this is one of those and is Italy's best-selling Amaro from long time. It's one of the classics.
And how are they best enjoyed? Does it depend on the different style or are they all pretty versatile to sort of be enjoyed neat or over some quality ice?
Yeah, look, I would say that like Amaros in general, of course, like everything else, like guest in a restaurant or a liqueur consumer, it kind of like adjusts to his taste. You know, if someone prefer cold liqueur, there's nothing wrong in putting a little bit of ice into it or like, you know, putting it in the fridge or anything like that. That all comes down to, of course, the consumer taste. But usually if you want to taste them like a proper tasting, you might want to go neat and room temperature just because that's the best way to get all the flavors from it. But then if you're talking about serving suggestion as a digestive, so like just like as an after meal drink, look, most of them, they would go either neat or on the rocks with a slice of orange. Probably the only one that I would suggest maybe with a little bit of ice, just because the ABV is much stronger, so just like to cut it down a little bit, could be the Toro Centerba. That's the only one that maybe a little bit of quality ice would do the trick.
And obviously the aperitif style Amaro are very popular in aperitivo cocktails, but the digestif styles also work well in cocktails as well, do they?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Actually, look, talking about, for example, the menu at Bisteca, our signature cocktail is definitely the Negroni. So that's a cocktail, you know, made with, of course, there is a vermouth in there, but there is like a aperitivo style Amaro, which is, of course, the Campari. But other Amaros, other digestive work absolutely absolutely wonders in cocktail. I've never had a cocktail, with a digestive Amaro probably until, 4 years ago or something, but they're just delicious. I think it just adds a whole new layer of flavor that you can't really get with just just like a liqueur, because like an Amaro has herbal notes, has bitter notes, has sweetness, has probably a little bit of kind of like wine aromas from the wine base, if it's wine base. So yeah, there is a beautiful kind of like bouquet of flavors that you get with that.
You actually mentioned if it's wine-based, so they're not always wine-based?
No, they're not always wine-based. They can be like originally like grappa-based or brandy grappa-based, or could be a neutral spirit, could be wine. I guess it depends on what kind of, you know, if you want something a little bit smoother, probably you want to go for a wine base. If you want something a little bit sharper, or you want to extract more, you know, like more flavors from your flavoring agents, let's call them. So like all the barks, etc., and all the seeds and leaves, maybe you want to use something with a bit of a stronger ABV because there's more kind of like extracting, you know, capacity. So I guess it depends on the, you know, producer, what a producer wants to achieve.
What's the sort of consumption trends like for these Amari in Italy? Has it stayed fashionable and are they still just as popular as always? Because, you know, often there's generational change and younger people want to drink something different. I'm just interested to know whether it's sort of stayed consistent over there.
Yeah, for sure. Look, you know, it's not the novelty anymore like it used to be like decades ago. But Amaro is still present in probably every single Italian home, you know, like in every single back bar of every bar. Lots of bar and lots of home as the more, you know, like the more classic one. So you go like the Montenegro, the Averna, the Braulio, etc. But I'm finding it that at least like a lot of my friends, they are kind of rediscovering it a little bit, you know, and kind of like enjoying it probably more now that they are a little bit more mature and their, you know, palate is a little bit more mature as well. Yeah, so as something that is always, you know, on the table, ready to share after a big meal, you know, just like passing the bottle around and having a couple of digestive. That's something that I think is gonna stay, and I hope it's gonna stick around for sure.
Is there a craft distilling movement in Italy as well? Are there smaller, younger distilleries that are producing their own styles of Amaro as well, or their own interpretations of Amaro?
Yeah, so look, there is some smaller, probably distillery, that they are not making Amaro as their first product. Okay, there's probably some, you know, like small wineries or like gin distilleries, you know, they are trying to do some nice Amaros, and there definitely are. The point is that in Italy, there's still those like big old one and, you know, like all time favorite. They probably at the moment are still kind of like taking over the Italian dinner tables more than the others. But like everything, there's some young people that are, you know, they're doing some very delicious liqueurs, and hopefully they're gonna give us some new generation beautiful Amaros as well.
Bistecca is your restaurant where you're a bar manager. I'm gathering that's a good place to come and sample some Amaro. Have you found that Australians are interested to try these after a meal? Is there a bit of a trend towards Amaro consumption here?
Yeah, for sure. To be honest, I wasn't expecting it at all. I've been working in London for quite a few years, and I found that over there wasn't as much of an Amaro culture at all. I didn't have any Amaro. Maybe I had one or two on my back bar when I was in London. Here at Bistecca, we have roughly, last time I counted, 85, 88 Amaros on our back bar. And guests are very interested in it. You know, like we have an Amaro of the week going on a board, of course, like, yeah, every Monday. So like we try it, we talk to the staff about it. So like everyone learn and everyone can kind of like recommend it and describe it as well to the guests. And yeah, we have a beautiful response from the customers as well. They really like it. Our cocktail menu is Amaro based as well. So yeah, that's what we like to drink, and that's what we like to, of course, like sell to the guests as well. We have a beautiful feedback from them as well.
when you've had a big meal, like a big steak and probably eaten a bit too much, they can kind of make you feel good, relax your digestive system.
Absolutely, yeah. That's actually because our body naturally is not made to put any bitter substance inside. It almost feels that like when you have an Amaro and you have something bitter, you just feel this kind of like a emptying your stomach kind of feeling, which is what Amaro is made for sure.
Federico Malavenda speaking there, bar manager at Bistecca Restaurant in Sydney. I hope you've enjoyed learning about this really unique and storied category of drinks as much as I have. If you want to continue your exploration of the Amari we've covered in this episode, they're mostly pretty easy to find at retailers across Australia.
The Drinks Adventures podcast is produced by me, James Atkinson, with additional production and mixing by Dave Robertson. You can find complete transcripts, links, and other information on the show at drinksadventures.com.au. You can follow me on all social media platforms at by James Atkinson, like my Facebook page, James Atkinson Drinks Adventures, to be kept informed of podcast giveaways and other news about the show. The Drinks Adventures podcast needs your support as listeners. Please do us a favour and leave an honest review and rating for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We love hearing your feedback, and it helps inform other people this is a show worth listening to. Or simply drop us a line at hello@drinksadventures.com.au.